cold outside.
It is getting cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. That song grosses me out.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
What's in this drink? That's where we're like,
She says something about, like, my mom and sister are waiting for me.
Yeah, it's no. It's like if you just read it without the melody, you're like, oh, no.
Something's not adding up here. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what song I do love, though? See, this is what makes a difference, because there is a song that's incredibly similar. The other song about Let's Stay In. Oh, all the way home, I'll be warm. That one, how does it? I'm sorry. Don't. But what is it?
All the way home, I'll be warm.
Oh, you know what I'm talking, what is that? It's,
I don't know.
But if you only hold me tight, that one, all the way home, I'll be warm. Is it Winter Wonderland?
Oh, sleigh bells ring.
Is that it?
Are you listening?
There it is.
Yeah.
Thank you. That one is very similar because it's about a couple.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the mud, you can build a snowman.
And they're both not wanting to go home because they're canoodling. They keep trying to keep canoodling.
But they're consensually canoodling.
I was going to say, the difference between these two songs is consent. I know you love Santa Baby.
I can sing Santa Baby better than I should be able to do. I love that one. White Christmas, but the old, I think, who is it? Bing Crosby?
Yeah, the old sleazy crooners. Yeah. It's just something good about it.
It's great.
Yeah.
Love it. Can get behind it. But the other day we were getting Dante's, cat food and stuff to get ready for him. And it was, shitty fucking Hallmark Christmas music.
It fucking Mariah Carey?
It pretty much was. Uh-huh. And, we were in, it's goddamn, it was November 5th, I don't know, and it was already going, and I just looked at Hunter, and he was like, I know. I hate it. It's wrong.
I really don't mind Christmas music. I have a weird, connection with cheesy shit like that.
I have a taste. If it's old school and calm, yeah. I like calm Christmas. When it's, over, I hate it.
And I don't even talk about that fucking Paul McCartney shit.
Which one?
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. But that repeated 16 times.
Hate it. No. Horrible.
We just lost all the Paul McCartney fans. Anyway, we're not talking about Christmas.
Or Paul McCartney.
Or music. Maybe music. I don't know what you're talking about. What are we here talking about today?
I'm talking to you today.
That's one we haven't done in a while.
I know. See, coming back. About Whorehound.
Whorehound.
Whorehound,
you said whore. I am going to be continuing on with the Familiars series.
Cool.
Today. And I'm going to be talking about something that was sparked by a little emotional moment I had scrolling through Facebook.
Okay.
I've been in my feelings a lot. But I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw a post by Tori C. And it was her, she just said, here's my familiar. And it's this beautiful, beautiful horse.
Oh.
And there were several pictures, and there's one that's the most majestic thing I've ever seen. It's like this horse, and all of the ground is covered in snow.
Oh, lovely.
And the rider on the horse has this red long cape on.
Oh, pretty.
Or a hood and maybe cloak. Not cape, cloak. Thank you. It just looks so beautiful and so majestic, and I saw it, and I kind of a little bit. But then the next picture is the horse making the derpiest face I've ever seen. And I was just like, this is what I will talk about. I wrote Tori and was like, can I use this? And what's the horse's name? And spell it phonetically for me.
What is the horse's name?
This is inspired by Atina.
Atina.
And it's a breed of horse that I will not be able to say properly. Lipizzaner?
Lipitor.
That's what's... kind of struck it for me today. So I'm
I
talk
love
about
that.
Horses.
It reminds me of our horse that we conjured. Remember, when we were talking about familiars, if they spontaneously appeared, how horrible it would be if it was a horse.
Just trotting confused in your room. Kind of like when they're on a path that's too small and they kind of flail around. Nay. So, as always, these familiar episodes, they can be taken very literally, such as, here's some info about having a horse as your familiar. But it can also be more generalized, like horse energy, horse vibe.
Horse.
Lunar vibe. So, I was always taught in school that horses kind of originated in Asia and then made their way westwards. However, as I was reading, according to Scientific American, the first horses originated in North America and then spread to Asia and Europe. Big if true. The horses left in, the horses that were left in North America.
The horses left? I was just... This very sentient, migratory, judgmental herd.
They all just said, I'm leaving, and trotted over. No, the horses that were left in North America became extinct around 10,000 years ago. Until they were reintroduced by the colonizing Europeans.
Interesting.
It's very recent data that suggests that. And it's very interesting because then you start to look into how did that happen. And it could go as far, because horses are old. I had no idea how old horses were. They are a really ancient species. This could go as far back as, you know, the connecting, like the land bridge, while that was still there. And maybe possibly like in the Leif Erikson, you know, actual. I can't think of Leif Erikson without thinking of SpongeBob. I can't either. You know, how exactly did they get over there? And it brings all these questions up. But that's what I read. And that deserves some more research. Clark was particularly intrigued by this, so I feel like we're probably going to come in the next episode. If I've made any mistakes, I'll correct myself. But according to Scientific American, that's what they say. Horses can be found all over lore from a wide span of cultures and backgrounds. To get into this a little bit, Epona, who's not actually just your companion from the Legend of Zelda games, but it's exactly apparently where she gets her name from, but was a Gallo-Roman goddess. Epona in ancient Celtic means great mare, and she was the protector of horses, donkeys, ponies, and mules.
Well, that's a cool name.
That's great a nice mare.
Touch that was her name.
In the game is what I'm thinking. I know, that's like some deep shit.
Some lore.
But I can't tell you how happy I was when I was reading and I saw Epona, and I was like, excuse me?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
A little, like, nerd Easter egg.
But she was said to lead the ride of departed souls into the afterlife.
That's which lovely. Is
badass imagery. In the Chinese zodiac, if you were born, and I picked a wide range of years here, because we have a wide range of listeners, so I want to go back, and it, obviously it does continue to go back further than this, but if you were born in the years 1942, 1954, 1966, 1978, 1990, 2002, and 2014.
Every 12 years.
Then you were under the year of the horse. And you're said to be earnest, confident, hardworking, maybe a little hard-nosed, or more appropriately, mule-headed. Witches have long been associated with horses. And this next bit comes from a short but really funny and fascinating article by John Connolly entitled, Witches Are Obsessed with Horses.
Great. To the point. The opposite of a medieval title.
Just, yeah. Very direct.
Yep.
So in 1726, a woman whose real name is unknown, but she's referred to as Janet Horn, which is apparently kind of like the Jane Doe for witches at this time in Scotland. She was killed for, you guessed it, being a witch.
Love that. That's always a good time.
That's always fun when that happens. I'm officially asking you for a historical witch episode.
Okay, I'm excited about that.
On this person, because it seems like there's a lot to this story.
A lot to unpack here.
And I would love to hear it. So, of course, one of the pieces of undeniable proof that she was a witch was that her daughter was born with a deformation of her hands and feet.
Oh, of course. Okay.
But because it was her hands and feet, this spawned a rumor that Janet would turn her own daughter into a horse.
How does that even...
It gets worse. Stick with me. She would turn her daughter into a horse and ride her to the devil. Horse. OFC.
I mean, what else are they going to do on a Saturday night?
And then just ride out to the devil. But the reason behind riding out to the devil is hilarious to me. Because the big bad man himself would proceed to fucking shoe the horse. Put the shoes on the horse.
So the devil is her... farrier.
It's just horse cobbler.
Okay, great.
That's powerful. If you have Satan as your farrier,
Father Satan,
Jesus Christ, you probably would laugh.
I'm impressed
at being burned at the stake.
I'm impressed as hell.
And how somebody came up with this is hilarious.
I mean, seriously. That's like some effort to make that shit up.
Also in Scotland, a woman by the name of Margaret Grant claimed that she had been... She claimed that she had been...
nothing else to do.
And also not great imaginations. Because she claimed that she had been turned into a pony. Which, if you're going to make some shit up, go for the gold, man. Why are you selling yourself short? Don't be a pony. Go for a horse. She claimed that she'd been turned into a pony and made... All she said was, I was made to ride great distances.
Oh, okay, great.
So nothing particularly nefarious, just
really
like...
Really fleshed that tail out.
They really put me to work. They made me run a lot. In 1699, Sweden, stories were published about an army of witches that had been breaking into the homes of men and turning them into horses at night.
Okay.
Got nothing better to do.
As you do.
As you do. I've done a, I've done a few times, you know.
And done that a few times.
And then there are the stories of the Night Hag.
Oh, love it.
If you want to read more about her, and she's a trip, I advise you to check out that article that I mentioned before. It'll be in the show notes. But to sum it up, there was there were stories of an entity that would steal horses at night and ride them around, always would bring them back, didn't kill the horse, didn't do anything to it, but just rode it a lot at night.
Okay.
And apparently you could tell that she had been around because you would see the signs the next day. You'd have an exhausted horse.
Oh, okay.
Whose mane had been tangled and knotted.
Oh.
And I went, I want to read a little quote used in Connolly's article. This is from The Horse in Magic and Myth, M. Oldfield Howley, National Sporting Library and Museum.
Okay.
It was very generally accepted as an indisputable fact that at this time, not only witches, but also certain malignant sprites who lived in the woodland gardens occasionally assumed the form of a woman clad in white, who in this guise would haunt the stables when night fell. They carried with them tapers of lighted wax. Or a candle. And they used the drippings from these to tangle the horse's manes into inextricable knots.
That's shitty.
To the great annoyance, both of the steeds and their grooms.
Yeah, I would say so.
But that's kind of the worst, I think, that they would do, is they'd make your horse real tired. So there's also that whole article, man, it was really good. It's really short, but it was a fun read. So there's also an interesting form of divination called hippomancy that comes from the early Western Slavic tribes, where the pattern in which a horse walks over an object will give you the answers that you seek.
Oh my God.
There's, of course, way more to it, but I think it would make a hell of a divination episode, so I'm going to save it.
Yeah, I love all of the different styles of divination you've just never heard of.
Exactly. There are so many. And this, apparently this is like you have to breed the horse, and then the horse is regarded like as an oracle.
So it's a special horse.
It's a special
horse. It's not all chance.
It's not just a horse you found in a shit field.
Okay.
You know, you gotta breed it.
I know all about shit fields.
Shit fields. Here's some symbolism of the horse. The horse has an interesting connection with death. We see them in the idea of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's true.
And we also see the horse again and again on the death card within tarot. I see this as being very symbolic of the transitional stage.
So do I. Yeah, the traveling.
Kind of something's happening in... It's the motivator behind it. It's not necessarily what happens because of it, but it's what brings you there. In tarot, there's a lot of fear among the death card, especially those who are not necessarily well-versed in the meanings of the cards. And a lot of that comes from media. You know, movies, somebody pulls the death card and it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But it's actually, in my opinion, quite a positive card to draw. I'm always excited about the death card when I pull it. Because it's about change and the death of something old to come and take, so something new can move in. It's the whole phoenix ashes kind of thing. So the horse to me has an energy of delivery, that they are the strong, determined vehicle that carries the rider where they are needing to go.
Okay.
Almost that Samwise Gamgee thing of I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you.
The companion.
And when we picture the horse, they're the symbol of absolute freedom and gentleness. Even if you've been bitten or like somebody in this room thrown from a horse, that might not seem that gentle, but it's that kind of flip-sided coin. Like, they are this, they have this air of majestic beast that is beautiful and free, but don't fuck with
it. Yeah, they're still an independent being.
Right. You know, if you walk up behind it trying to be funny, they will kick the shit out of you. So symbolism and some things here that you can incorporate into your life however you like. Maybe it's carrying a horse figurine with you to kind of harness this energy. Maybe it's calling on the energy of the horse. Or maybe you were born with this energy, like to see the horses, maybe your spirit animal, or however this makes sense to you. The horse symbolizes freedom, but also our, like, our own driving force, our will, and our, you know, our strong...
The driving horse.
It's the driving horse. God damn it. It represents our strong emotions, the kind of raw and powerful emotions that we have, yet the ability that we have the ability to tame those wild feelings into something that we can harness and work with. It also represents a symbiotic relationship. So when you're working with a partner, you can benefit from the energy of the horse. And I feel like Wabah kind of has some of this horse energy.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit. I would like to think so, you know, kind of carrying forward in a powerful way.
I think so.
You know, I kind of see that in a relationship between two people, and it's very emotions based. And I was reading this and I was just like, I think that we might have some horse energy going on. Horse energy grants intuition and the ability to overcome obstacles or jump hurdles, the ability to run from situations or people of a low vibration, fear, hindrance, anger, general situations or people in your life. You can run away from that and towards abundance of finance and of personal joy and happiness.
Okay.
It sets the soul free. I saw that written somewhere and I thought it was really pretty.
I could like see that written in script on like...
Horses, it sets the soul free. Like on the back of somebody's truck, like airbrushed on. Yes. Yeah.
A window decal.
Yeah. You can harness horse energy when you are working with the third eye, or, you know, that intuition. When you're looking to be a bit spontaneous and adventurous, the energy of the horse is with you and can be called on to help. People born with horse energy are free spirits. They desire flexibility, they are funny and sophisticated. Oftentimes, they are the most unselfish people, very generous of spirit, and they're said to almost always be good at what they do if there's passion there.
Okay.
And as long as they do have passion for it, they don't need to be prompted by anybody to do what they love. So they don't need poking and prodding to get to a project. Mm-hmm. They will just kind of take it in a very headstrong way if they're passionate about it. I want to wrap up my little segment on horses here with an excerpt from InkedGoddessCreations.com about the horse. And by the way, Inked Goddess Creations is the creator of the Goddess Creation Box, the witchy subscription box that you can get in different sizes and different price amounts. So they even make one for kids. I think it's $5 to $10 a month, but they'll send like little witchy things good for kids.
That's cool.
So check those out. Not sponsored or anything. I just think it's very cool. Okay, so they say there, the horse has been an important part of human society for thousands of years. They have been used as working animals, sports participants, war beasts, therapy animals, and companion creatures. Cultures have been shaped by the presence or absence of horses.
That's very true.
Horses have long been a symbol of power. The burial sites of ancient royalty and warriors often include the remains of horses, sometimes carved ritual horse totems and artistic items featuring horses or made from the bones of horse. So,
okay.
You know,
yeah, that makes
figurines
sense.
Of horses or things made from actual bits of horses. I meant invoking horse energy, but I wrote invading horse energy.
Invading horse energy.
Invoke horse energy in your spell work when you need to be aware of everything that is happening around you. Horse grants you the speed of thought and courage to continue forward. And that's horse energy.
Horse. I like it. It's kind of funny to me because I just keep picturing BoJack Horseman and he's none of those things.
I guess it's, you know, it's like people, you know, everyone's going to be different.
You get a bad egg every now and
every again. Every once in a while. You get a real dud.
I'm going to talk to you about Whorehound.
Tell me about the Whorehound. That sounds like an insult you would give like a scallywag boy.
All right, listen, you Whorehound.
Yeah. I saw him jumping from window to window, the whorehound. I don't know.
It's like anywhere you could put in the word rapscallion, you could throw whorehound in there.
Street rat. I don't buy that. Just a little snack, guys.
Do I think he's
rather tasty? Gotta eat to live, gotta still to eat. Otherwise, we'd get along. Oh, Jesus.
Okay. One step ahead of the two steps. I still own a cat of farm. That's everything.
I forgot about that little. Well, that's everything.
Okay, whorehound.
Yes.
All right, scientific name. Marubium vulgare.
Vulgare?
Yeah.
This better be a little horny. If it's not, I'm going to be upset.
It's not.
Really?
I know.
Its name is whorehound.
I know, it's a misnomer.
And it's vulgare. Okay, sure.
Known as white whorehound, common whorehound, or just whorehound.
Okay. Imaginative. Great.
It's a flowering plant native to Europe, Northern Africa, and Southwestern and Central Asia. Mm. A whorehound, like many others, belongs to what family?
The mint
family.
God damn it.
All of them. So the name whorehound.
Every plant is mint.
Is mint. So there's two origins here to whorehound. One's much less fun. So one is that it's believed to have derived from whore, originally spelled H-A-O-R, meaning white or light colored, and hune, H-U-N-E, which was like a designated class of herbs, except over time people changed that from whorehune to whorehound and changed the spelling.
Texans got a hold of it.
Yes. Yeah. And the other one is that people say it was named in honor of Horus.
Oh, okay.
Don't know which one.
I choose to believe that. And that's how rumors get started.
And there you go. It is super invasive. I mean, like, super invasive. Like, Australia's had a problem with it. New Zealand has had a problem with it. Oh. It's in North America and patches. Hmm. Like, it'll grow anywhere. It'll fucking grow anywhere.
Whoa.
It is very invasive. So if you do grow it, keep it contained in a container pot or, like, a bed or something. It's a bushy little plant with really crinkly leaves that can sometimes be like this whitish color, like that frosty whitish color.
Okay.
They bloom like several little white flowers. And they only appear, though, they only bloom the second or third year of its life. It's a perennial plant, so it comes back every year. So only after the second or third year, a few years of maturity, does it
start to mature.
Yes. While it's an edible plant, it affects your body really... It has a very strong effect on your body, so it's not recommended to take it in often. Mm. It's more of it shines as a remedy instead of like a regular diet staple, if that makes sense.
Don't put it in your salads.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can, but you don't need to do it every day. Really, don't do it that often. So
don't do it at all.
Just don't do it at all. That said, it's shown like a really big immune system, like boost property. So some people drink a tea of it once a week.
Oh, okay.
Of the leaves and like make a tea out of it. It's pretty bitter. So a lot of people sweeten with honey, but that was from ediblewildfood.com.
Oh,
yes. It's long been used as a cough suppressant, for a very long time, like folk medicine shit. It's been used forever. During a cold, and today it can even still be found in some lozenges and, like, throat drop brands.
Really? Yes. Cool.
It's also an expectorant, so it will loosen and allow you to cough up mucus, which back in the day was the difference between life and death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the difference between surviving and pneumonia.
Yeah.
So that people would take in a lot of it during that time.
I mean, it's gross.
But it is necessary. Happen. Also, it's long been used to treat intestinal parasites. Yeah. It's a diaphoretic, so it will induce sweating, which is good for breaking fevers. Another thing of life and death. It's also a diuretic and has been used before and maybe shows signs of being a vasodilator for increased circulation.
This guy does a lot.
Yeah.
Normally with these plants, they stick to one system.
A lot of big shit, too. Like major things. You know, because of that, though, you don't need to take it, one, because of all of these big effects that it has, but it can also cause dehydration. It causes some, you know, to perspire. It's a diuretic.
Yeah, if you're peeing and sweating everywhere.
Yeah, it's like you're going to get fucking dehydrated fast.
So maybe not great for, like, when you got diarrhea.
Yeah, you know, like
yeah.
No. Mm. Along with this, it's absolutely to be avoided if you're pregnant. Like, oh. To the level of, like, parsley.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. No, it has the same properties of inducing menstruation.
Okay.
Not yeah. just, like, I mean, it's like you could miscarry
right.
kind
yeah.
of deal. It's a big one.
Yeah.
And that was, all of that info was from drugs.com.
Okay.
So here's some metaphysical uses for a whorehound. We've talked about some of them. It's a biggie for protection, but also when burned, like when you burn the leaves, it's believed to honor Horus.
Oh.
And aids in protection from evil forces and malicious intent.
Very cool.
Yeah. So some believe the name, okay, yeah, whorehound derives from Horus, the god of the sky and light.
Mm.
It can be used in sachets for protection, sprinkled onto floors. And like some people, you sprinkle and then you let it sit overnight and then sweep it up in the morning.
Yeah.
You can do that with whorehound. It can be used as in a floor wash. As I've said before, I pair it with mint equal parts and make a tea as my base. And that's to prevent against.
Well, it's already in the mint family. So
yeah, I mean, you know, they're just making it extra strong. But, I, you know, that is for protection against magics and, you know, just negative intent, things like that. It's tied to the earth and Mercury.
Oh.
It is mercurial.
Oh.
And when drank in a tea, it's believed to open and sharpen the mind.
And also dehydrate you.
Yes, and make you sweat.
That's why your mind is so sharp. You're sweating all over the place. I'm so aware of everything.
I have a whorehound cough syrup recipe for you that I found.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to make this. I want to try it. So mix 1 ounce of leaves into a pint or 16 ounces of water that is already boiling.
Okay.
Cover and steep for 10 minutes and then strain out the leaves. So you just have the liquid from the whorehound.
Is it boiling the entire 10 minutes or you
it's
get it
steeping.
To a boil,
yeah.
put it in and then cut the heat off?
That's how I understood it.
Okay.
Yeah. And let it steep for 10 minutes. You're basically making like a strong fucking tea out of it. Okay. So it's 16 ounces of water. So you then you add 4 cups of honey to that.
What?
Yeah. I don't really know why. I did see some that cut it in half and did equal parts, the water and the honey,
right.
which to me sounds more reasonable.
16 ounces is 2 cups.
Yeah. And so it'd be 4 cups of honey
Whoa.
To 2.
I guess you'd need it to make it that syrupy consistent.
Yeah. And it's
though.
Very bitter.
Okay. Yeah.
And honey itself is
yeah.
good for the throat and things like that.
Okay. It's very... And I guess you're not chugging this like by the
no,
glass.
No, you take it by the teaspoon.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
a syrup. And honey is huge in that antimicrobial,
yeah.
you know, property. And you mix in the honey when the water's hot, but, you know, not boiling. Otherwise, it just thins out and dissolves.
Yeah.
But it still stays kind of syrupy if you just mix it in, like, when it's, like, tea temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Let it mix nice and then bottle it in, like, you know, a glass mason jar or something like that. And so then you can take 1 teaspoon every 4 hours up to 4 times a day.
Oh.
And for kiddos, it would be a half a teaspoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to make some of this.
I do, too. Yeah, I think it would be
Absolutely.
Good to make.
Absolutely. Especially if you're just battling something that you wouldn't really go to the doctor for.
Right. You just
know
you're going to have to cough it out
yeah.
and get over it.
Or kind of like the ass in
yeah.
of a sickness.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so that recipe I found on witchesofthecraft.com.
I have loved each and every one of these websites that you've referenced today. Oh my goodness.
So that's whorehound. I know that was kind of short and sweet, but it's a very to the point plant.
I think this whole episode might be a little short and sweet and to
yeah.
the point, but that's all right.
It's all right.
I'm very, very happy with our past couple of episodes.
Yeah.
It's been feeling grand.
We're back.
We're back, baby. Coming up on 100. I say that,
we
but
say
we're not.
We say that, but
you know,
we're not.
We're not. Not for
we're
a
like a
while.
Half a year away. We'll get there.
Still, hit us up with those emails about what you would like to see for our 100th episode. We want to rip one of you guys off and take your idea.
It's what we're best at.
It's what we do. Well, Macy.
What?
I'm ready to roll that beautiful review footage.
That was lazy.
I had such a good one last time,
yeah,
but I figured
but
I'd give it a break.
I'm not going to let that go.
I don't care. I'm very proud of it.
It was very well done.
Come up with one right now in the moment.
No.
I'll act like I'm not aware.
It's not going to be as good because I don't have it written down
See,
in front of my face.
See, it's hard to do. This one comes to us from Pole Gym.
Oh.
Which...
GYM.
It's G-E-M.
Okay.
I'm imagining J-I-M on a pole.
I am too.
And it's making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Kind of just like, you like what you see.
Rolling around.
And he's not even on it. He's just kind of slapping him against it.
Yeah.
No, but this is from pole G-E-M, which is a completely different thing and sounds extremely lovely. It's the antithesis of gem on a pole. This is called love, love, love.
Love.
Was made. Wait.
For me and you.
But I saw this one, love, 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 and it also reminded me of a particularly swell The Mountain Goats song of the same title. And I was like, I want to read this one. and it's just, it's wonderful. Absolutely love this podcast.
Oh.
These ladies have found a perfect balance of information and humor.
Oh.
Very binge-worthy. And I'm recommending this podcast to everyone. Thank you for that.
Shout it to the mountaintops.
Shout it from a mountaintop.
That's
shout
even
it,
better.
Shout it at a mountaintop. Yeah, just shout it. Thank you so much, Pole Gem. We really appreciate
much appreciate
the spreading of the wabah problem.
Did you see where somebody coined the term wabam?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And now I'm just thinking like Emeril, like when he was like wabam. I know that's not what he said, but that's what I would say.
And then somebody said like in a comment, they're like wabam, ma'am, thank you, or like wabam, thank you, ma'am. And I was like, that's great. I love that.
There's so much. The other day, somebody introduced themselves over on the Facebook, and they said, "Hey, I'm new." And in the comments, everybody was saying hi, and someone said, "Welcome to the bean can."
Yeah, that's great. I love that. That's wonderful. The bean can.
Welcome to the bean can. Macy.
Mm.
I offer a sweet tits witchy product. Can't laugh at my own shit.
A sweet tits.
Witchy item or service or product. And I would like it to be heard by all the beans in the bean can. Where can I go?
You can go to advertisecast.com/
The
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
We have an email address. It's a Gmail email.
Mm-hmm.
It's wbahpodcast@gmail.com, which I have signed up for, like, on accident. Like, I didn't have a free email, so I was like, I'll use Wabah and I'll cancel it later. And one of them is to make mobile orders. I wanted to roll through the McDonald's and get, like, a tea.
I know every time you go to McDonald's. I've known for a year and a half.
I know you do, and I try to delete it right after it comes in because I don't want it to, like...
I always see it. I just assume you go to McDonald's all the time.
They have, this is gonna sound like a really silly thing to do, they have the best unsweet,
they do have good tea,
unsweet tea, they, because I like old tea that's been sitting in that vat for a long time. I don't love it. I don't drink tea with sugar in it, so it's not like I'm running through getting burgers sometimes. However, every time I come through, I'm like, I have a mobile order for the unsweet tea, and they're like, is this podcast? And I'm
yes
ma'am. Anyway, where can you go take in that lovely all male review that Jim puts on for you on the poll?
Jim reveals all.
Hot Jim action.
Get a good warm tip with Jim.
Experience the warm tip.
Experience the warm
and the
tip.
Chilly fingers of Jim.
Ew. Yeah, you can do that at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. God.
We have a Twitter at
Bitch
Hour. Whorehound Hour. Come meet with us over on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour.
No, Bitch on Facebook.
We have a Patreon if you would consider supporting the podcast. Question mark. Patreon.com/WBAH podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us where that little... I don't know. Tell us where that little sugar dump of a P.O. box is.
Oh, little sugar biscuit.
Just a sugar tit is all you are.
Sugar britches. It is sitting very sweetly at P.O. Box 865, Canton, Texas, 75103.
I like the use of sitting sweet, like at sweetly as an adjective. Mm-hmm.
Sitting sweetly.
Oh, I go to sweetly. Just dripping honey everywhere. Mm.
That's how you get ants.
You want ants?
You want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
Oh, man.
I've got to pee again for the sixth time in an hour.
Was there glitter in the pee?
I didn't look. I forgot. I have a very short attention span.
Well, okay, guys. Macy has to go take care of a problem. Yes. We'll catch you next time on the W... The
Win. That makes it sound like I shit my pants.
Did you not? Bring in that music.
I have had a gas bubble, like, in my rib. It hurts every time. It's, like, under my boob. It's that tall, and I know I don't have intestines there, and it hurts.
I have had a gas bubble.
It hurts so when I laugh.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, I gotta stretch out.